Anybody else's back hurt? How about your leg? Because my leg's hurting. Too much driving, too much riding, too much busyness. Take your Bibles. Turn to the book of James. Comes right after Hebrews, before Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, right? Something like that. Or Hebrews, James, Peter, one of those. It's one of those books in there. In my Bible, it's page number 356. I don't know about your Bible. So as I was driving, I'll tell you a little story real quick, and then we're going to read. I was driving this morning, and I told you I got a text from Pastor Bob, and he said, hey, buddy, I'm not feeling well. Can you cover this morning? And like 30 or 40 minutes later, I responded, sure, no problem. Take it easy. And then I was like, what did I just do? Yeah. So I had to think. Luckily, I was listening to music and they were all asleep. So I was thinking, what am I going to talk about? And I thought of 20 things. So I had to settle on one of them. So I decided to talk about us. When I say us, I mean us as a people of God. James says some things here that are going to be hard to hear. And I don't mean hard to hear in the sense that James has printed the words and we just got to read them. I mean hard to hear here in our heart. Because James is brutally honest when it comes to, what is he known for? A book of wisdom, right? So James is a book that encounters a lot of wisdom on the reader. Let's start, I believe it's verse 2. Chapter 1. At the beginning. All right, I'm going to quote you. It may be a mixture of different versions, but it should say the same thing roughly of what you're reading. We'll look at different words and see what they say. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you endure trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may become complete, not lacking anything. For if a man lacks, he should ask God, who is gracious and gives generously to all. Bless the reading of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father God, I pray right now, God, that these words that James has written that came from you, God, will be enlightening to us. God, that they will show us something in our life that, God, we can improve upon. God, that not only we as a group, God, but me myself can focus on showing you that my life is for you, God. God, I pray that each and every person here will hear your voice today. God, that we will be the people that you've called us to be. And we will be in love with you and you alone, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's start at the beginning. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you endure trials of many kinds. That part right there. That's really tough to swallow, let me tell you. It's really tough when you're enduring a trial to look at the joy that God is putting in your life. Because none of us really wants to say going through a hard time is joyful. Anybody want to do that? I don't. There have been times in my life where I'm like, why, God? And I just want to scream. And I know each of you have had moments like that. One of the hardest things in my life, I'm going to lean right here. This is a little informal today, okay? But I told you my hip is really hurting. If I had a chair, I'd sit on a chair. One of the hardest times in my life was when my oldest child was born. I had a little bit about me. Jamie and I got married in 1998, the last day of 1998. So it sounds better to say 1998. December 31st is our anniversary. So 1999, her father had a heart attack and had to have quadruple bypass surgery in May. So we went back to Alabama, and I thought, you know what? I was still in college. For the summer, we were out, and I thought, you know what? I'm gonna move to Alabama. I like it. It's my favorite place on earth. And so I called my mom, and I said, Mom, I'm going to move here to Alabama. She's like, no. And yeah, it's kind of went like that. So I decided I was going to move there and finish school there. But I got a job, and I was working for the summer, and I decided I didn't like that job. So I went back to school. So we drove back to Riverside at the end of the summer, finished Cal Baptist, and then the day after I graduated, we loaded my truck up, and I headed to Alabama because I like Alabama. So we lived there, and we lived there for 3 years and had a pretty good job working for an insurance company, making pretty good money. Jamie was a teacher at a private school. And lo and behold, God blessed us with our oldest child, Sarah. We were due to have her in April, and this was about January. And then Jamie one night wakes me up 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I got to go to the hospital. Blah, blah, I'm sick. Blah. Turns out she had kidney stones. So we spent like 4 days in the hospital, and it scared me to death, probably scared her even more. But we made it through that. And about a month and a half later, 2 months later, end of February, they laid me off at the insurance company. And I'm like, I'm about to have a baby. That's like probably the most expensive thing you can have outside of a like super major surgery, right? Lo and behold, Jamie was about to have a C-section. So that's a pretty major surgery. And I didn't know what was going to happen. But they gave me enough severance that it covered the time that Sarah was born. Sarah was due at the end of April, and she was born April 3rd, about a week and a half before my insurance expired. So God blessed us. But that was a trying time in my life. That's one of the hardest times in my life that I can remember. And God says, through James, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you endure trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. I bet a lot of us have a lot of perseverance, don't we? Amen. Perseverance must finish its work. Why? What does the word say? Perseverance or steadfastness, some of the versions may say. Or what else does it say? Who has a different version?
The testing of your faith
develops patience. Any other words there that your version has?
Mature?
Complete? Right. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may become complete, not lacking anything. God desires for us to be a complete people. God desires for us to have the heart of Christ, to mimic Christ in everything that we do. That Bible is full of instructions. It's not full of do's and don'ts. It's full of guidelines to get us from point A to point B, not to make you fit into a mold. It's full of guidelines to give you hope, to give you peace, to give you and I a purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Why do we throw it away sometimes? Why do we toss it to the side? I'm talking to myself here too, okay? As I was driving, I was thinking, you know, what is the worst thing I do? What is the constant stick that I stab at God? Can you think in your life? Don't answer these things here, but I'm just trying to get you to think. What is the thing in your life that you know God asks of you, and you constantly throw it back at him. That's the wrong kind of perseverance. That's not the perseverance that James is talking about. James is talking about allow yourself to focus on God, to focus on his timing, to focus on his well-being, and let that patience, that perseverance develop in you to finish its work so that you may be complete, not lacking anything, that you may be the perfect example of what he has called us to be. God desires that for each and every one of us. It's not just a one day a week thing. It's not just a once a year go to church at Christmas. It's not just a once a year go to Easter. It's not just a once a week go every Sunday and then walk out the doors and say, God, I've done my time. I'm finished. It's a constant daily cross that he has asked us to pick up and follow him with. Amen?
Amen.
Now we say that, but do we believe it? Do we really, really believe it? I'm going to be a little bit different style preacher today. I'm not going to thump you with hellfire and brimstone. I'm simply going to ask you questions that I ask myself all the time. Am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I acting the way that God wants me to act? Am I being the person that Jesus has called me to be? Most of the time, my answer is no. Do you know why in our life it's like that? Well, there's lots of reasons. But I'm the reason that I'm like that. You're the reason that you're like that. And I'm not trying to tear anybody down here, okay? I'm just trying to give you an example through my own life that all of us can strive to be like Jesus a little bit more every day. And we can develop the perseverance that will make us complete, not lacking anything. Hope. What does it say after not lacking anything? If a man lacks, he must
ask
God. So every day when we come up against the wall that is our struggle, and we have to try to persevere it, God's given us the answer right there. If a man lacks, he should ask God, who is gracious and gives generously to all. Does God leave us hanging on the cliffside on the mountain? Does God leave us in the valley with no water, with no food? Does God leave us desolate with no hope? No, that's not the God that we serve. God doesn't abandon his children. Jesus told a parable of the shepherd that would leave the 99 to save the one. Now I'm going to go to a movie reference here, okay? You know, y'all know how I like movies. It's space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. To boldly go where no man has gone before, right? Who knows what movies I'm talking about? Number two, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. My opinion, the greatest Star Trek movie ever made. So, I don't think I need to tell you about the whole movie. You know the movie, right? Everybody's seen it? Has anybody not seen that movie besides my children? Okay, I'll give you a little. I made them watch it. They just don't remember it. All right, everybody knows Kirk and Spock, right? Kirk and Spock are best friends. I mean, will do anything for each other. So the ship is in peril. They're in a fight with Khan, who Kirk Ray made really mad in a previous, you know, episode of Star Trek. So Khan has decided he's going to get Kirk. He's going to take the Enterprise. And he says to the captain, he says, give me the code for your ship. I'm going to take it over. Kirk's like, no, no, no. You know, hold on, Khan. I'm working. Anyway, long story short, something happens. The Enterprise is disabled. They need power. Kirk is telling Scotty, who's in engineering, I need power. I need full power. And he says, I can't do it, Captain. I don't have the power. Right? Because Scotty's Scottish. He can't do it. He doesn't have the power. Can't fix it. Spock's like, wait a minute. He's looking at the screen. He says, I'll be right back. So he takes off in the elevator, heads down to engineering. Nobody knows where he's going, right? They're still up there. They're doing all their battle stuff. They got sirens going off, lights going off, smoke everywhere, and they're doing their thing. Spock gets down there, and the doctor, Dr. Bones, follows him in there. And then he does the Vulcan mind meld on him, tells him to remember, and knocks him out with the little pinch, throws him on the ground. Well, he doesn't throw him. But lays him down. He goes into the warp chamber, and the door closes behind him, and he's in there fixing all the stuff. The light's going up in his eyes, and he's doing all this, and he can't see. And he's doing something in there, and he fixes the ship. Warp drive. Boom! That thing takes off. But he went in there, and before he went in there, Scotty says, don't do it! You'll die! He goes in there anyway. Sure enough, he got so much radiation from that thing that he can't see. He's banging off the wall. And then their ship's out of the area, so they're not, you know, gonna die right there. And Kirk's like, Spock, and he doesn't answer him. Spock, you know, because they have those communicators. Spock. And then Scotty says, Captain, you best get down here. So he gets in the elevator, he goes down, he slides down the pole like Captain Kirk does in all the episodes, you know, with his feet. He doesn't go down the ladder normally. He slides down. He gets down there, and he goes to open the door, and Scotty and Bones grab him and say, you'll flood the compartment. You'll kill us all. So he goes up to the glass, and that's where the good speech is. And Spock says, ship out of danger. Jim. And they're crying. Well, Spock's not really crying. He's a Vulcan. But Jim's got the tears in his eyes, and he says, the good of the many over the good of the one. Now, to bring this into context, earlier in the movie, Spock had basically said, that's stupid, because he's a logical person, right? You wouldn't go for the one to save the one when you could save the many, right? Right? That makes sense, right? So Spock went in, gave his own life to do that. And Jim was like, Spock, what have you done? He said, the good of the many outweigh the good of the one. But Jesus says he would leave the 99 and go get the one. Now that's contrary to our thought process, isn't it? It doesn't work that way in our mind. Leave the 99 unattended to go save the one. Jesus cares about us that much. Jesus would lay down his life, and he would have laid down his life if it was only one of us to save. But he did it for all of us. That's the greatness of the gospel. That Jesus loves your life, your soul, so much that he would leave the 99 and he would go get the one. That means you're important. That means you're worth something. That means you are valuable to him. James is a book of wisdom that cuts to the soul. It allows us to see the true purpose of what God is bringing to light. Who can read the next verse for me? After, if a man lacks, he must ask God, who is generous and gives graciously to all. What's the next verse?
But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind.
Some versions say double-minded man. For if a man asks, but doubts, he's tossed back and forth like a wave in the sea. I don't know about you, but when I ask God for things, sometimes in my heart, I don't know that I really believe he's going to do it. I know God takes care of me. I know God has an ultimate will that is perfect and going to happen the way he wants it to if I stay in his will. I know that God loves me. I know that God cares for me. I know that God's not going to let me be destroyed by the evil one. But sometimes in my heart, I doubt. And I think if every one of us is honest with ourselves, we have doubts too. That's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow. Because we would like to think that God living in us makes us perfect all the time. It makes us someone who doesn't fail, someone who doesn't fall short. But the Bible is pretty clear, and we know through experience that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each of us has gone his own way. Right? But there's lots of verses in the Bible that take that phrase and then they give you the hope afterwards. God has laid on Jesus the iniquities of us all. So my problems are Jesus' problems. My failures are Jesus' failures. My shortcoming is Jesus' shortcoming. He took it from me. But I hold on to it right here. I don't let it go. And that's where I falter. God wants us to give him all of these things, to allow him to work in our life, to finish that work, to mold us, to use us, to make us into what he wants us to be. A perfect and complete child in his image, so that we may be complete, not lacking anything. I don't want to be someone who says one thing and does another. I don't want to be a failure. I don't want to be an incomplete Christian. I don't want to be a casual Christian, is a term you may have heard before, where the only time I talk about God or the only time I think about God is on Sunday mornings when I walk through the door of the church. I don't want to be, for all intents and purposes, a hypocrite. I don't want that in my life, and I know you don't want that in your life either. Constantly, every day, we have to turn to the Word of God. We have to focus on it. We have to intentionally make it part of our life. The psalmist wrote, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Right? "I will hide its words in my heart so that I might not sin against God. That's something we have to do on a continual basis. You can't just read a Bible one time a year and expect it to stay in your mind. You can't just pray before a meal and think that you're really talking to God and allowing God to talk back to you and to give you his purpose for your life. It's a relationship that God wants. It's not a religion. God doesn't care if you walk through those doors every day or every Sunday. He doesn't. That's not what God's looking for. God's not looking for you to come to church every Sunday to say, God, I checked the box. I was at church 51 weeks out of the year. I only took vacation one time, God. That's not what he's looking for. God is looking for every day for you to look to him, cast your cares upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. No one else can do what God can do. Money won't do that. Power won't do that. People won't do that. Food won't do that. Cars won't do that. Only God will fix that part of your life. Only God can finish the work and make you complete, not lacking anything. If you don't believe that, keep running from God. Keep finding out that he's going to chase you down. He's going to run after you because he's leaving the 99 to go after the one. And the good thing about God is he can do that all at the same time. He's omnipresent and omniscient. He can still be working in Cindy's life while he's working in my life at full power and full strength. We don't get that because when we concentrate on something, we concentrate on it. When I'm watching TV, I don't hear what Morgan says. I'm watching TV. Yeah, I know you know. But God is dealing with me in 100% capacity at the same time he's dealing with you. He's fully in my mind. He's fully putting his will and his love upon my heart. He's fully grasping at me and pulling me in a direction that he wants me to be. And if I fight him, it doesn't strain him, but it sure strains me. If you fight God, you will not win. I will not win fighting God. No one has ever won fighting God. No one ever will. God will always win. God wants our heart. God wants our love. God wants our devotion, our full and complete devotion. Don't you think we should give it to him? I know it's hard. I struggle with it every day. Some days I fail miserably. Some days I don't. It's a constant battle. And I have to continue to ask God, who's gracious and generous and gives generously to all. Ask God. He's the only one that'll help. Jesus is the only way that we will be what God has called us to be. Jesus has to be here. He has to be here. He has to be consuming our mind. He has to be consuming our heart, consuming our every thought, every moment, every day, for us to be the people God wants us to be. So I leave you with this. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a saint. Well, I guess we're all saints. I shouldn't be on a pedestal, okay? I'm not on a pedestal. I'm nothing special. I'm just a normal guy, for the most part, who accidentally shaves off too much of his eyebrows. I want the same thing you want. I want to do what God wants in my life. I strive for it. My problem is I let myself get in the way. And I'm not a nice person. I'm not. but I strive to be kind. I'm trying to be kind. God has to work on me. And when I say I'm not a nice person, the first thing that comes in my mind is not always the nicest thoughts, okay? I don't always think of things the nicest way. Sometimes I'm gruff and I'm rough around the edges. I think that's why God gave me all daughters. At least that's what my wife says, to soften me up. They know how to come to me and go, Daddy, me need dinner. Especially Stella and Maddie. Morgan used to be able to do it, but she don't like to give me hugs anymore, so. Let's ask God to do the things in our lives to help us be the people he needs us to be. You know what? When we do that, we're going to reflect that out and people are going to see that. People that come through the doors, people that you come in contact with out there, people I come in contact with, they're going to see that and they're going to say, what's different about Bill? Why is Bill the way he is? Bill, what makes you how you are? You know what it is? It's the love of God. It's the Spirit of Jesus. If it's overflowing out of you, people are going to see it. And on the flip side of that, if what you got coming out of you is meanness, nastiness, yuck, then they're going to see that too. And they're not going to be like, you know, I want to go be with that, hang out with that. Nobody wants to hang out with yuckiness, right? Nobody wants to be near nastiness and meanness. People want to be near joyfulness. People want to be near happiness. People want to do things that make them feel great, make them feel, man, I'm uplifted today. Nobody wants to be down. Let's show people that God loves us so much. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but they would have everlasting life in the presence of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody here is pretty much home, folks. So I'm kind of preaching to the choir. We're not going to do an invitation today. We're going to do something a little bit different because I'm in charge. We're going to pray. And then if you want to stick around, you want to talk to me or something, I'm here. It takes me a few minutes to get everything packed up. Phil's here. He'll hang around for a couple minutes. I just challenge you to be mindful of what God is doing in your life. Allow him to work. Don't cut him off. Don't stop him. Let him be God. Because perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be complete, not lacking anything. But if you lack, here's your hope. Ask God, who's gracious and gives generously to all. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you, God, that we could be here today and hear what you have for us. God, I praise you and honor you. I thank you for Jesus, God, above everything, that you gave freely, God, as if I was the only one on the planet who was separated from you. God, Jesus died for my sins. He died for my iniquities, for my failures. God, he died for each of our lives. And we praise you for that, God. We thank you. God, I pray that today, God, that we would be energized. We would be pulled in a direction that, God, maybe some of us never have gone before. God, but we would be the people that you're calling us to be. Thank you, Father, for everything that you've done. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Have a great day.